Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh yeah. And oh yeah, it's African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, your main man Marvin Rome and a crew. Coming to you live, Richmond, Virginia. Got another great show for you today. We got Sister Danny coming up with Community Conversations. Brother Jordan, Brother Booker, Be The One, Willie Lynch, Kwame, you, me, and us, and we, and so much more. And there is no better love, no greater love than for self and kind. No greater love than for self and kind. Doing us today, we got a whole lot for you. Brothers and sisters, there is no better love, no greater love than for self and kind. Welcome to African American Empowerment Association Empowerment Saturday, sponsored by the National African American Empowerment Association. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African American community. And who needs it more than us? If you just think back for a minute, wherever you are on our situation and the situation that we've been in since we've been in this country, it's time for empowerment. If you think about it, it's time for change. And as we look around at the landscape of our lives from an African-American standpoint, we can see that there's so much that needs to be done to rectify ourselves, our lives, and what we, again, stop trying to get in to fit in and become our authentic selves. How do you do that, Marvin? Well, I got to have to learn how to work together. I'm going to have to learn how to find family and community again and love each other, right, to get back to our rightful state. Now, that's not a perfect state, but we could do the work of working on ourselves one day at a time. Like Booker says, be the one. And that's, it starts with you. It starts with the individual. It's a personal commitment to change, right? And we have to do that work of becoming better parents, right, for our brothers and sisters out there who have little children who need guidance. We got to step up, right? Stand in the gap. Start being more responsible and more accountable for our words and our actions and our activities and our ways. Yes, we do. Nobody else is going to be responsible or accountable for our children but us. And it's the work that we need to do that. How do we do it? Well, there's a five-step plan with the NAAEA. A political agenda, understanding politics and how it works. The political situation that we find ourselves in this country, right? How to understand democracy, for example, right? How to understand a democratic system, right? How it works. How does policing work and the justice system work? All of these different factors that when we were released into our freedom, if you will, we had no idea, no clue how to work it. I mean, we had effective practices early on after our release from enslavement and through Reconstruction, but then some things happened. Some things happened through black codes and Jim Crow and segregation that changed the landscape of how we were able to engage in this country. So we're recovering from all of that through mass incarceration and all the things that continue to impact our community. How do we get better? So we have to have an economic agenda. That means money is important. How do you use it? Understanding capitalism, how capitalism works, right? And then being able to save and invest so that we can create infrastructure, institutions, and corporations that define our own realities and put resources back into our hands and back into our communities. Now, if we get these resources, which, again, we have the ninth largest economy in the world, actually, but we don't understand how to use these resources properly to take care of ourselves because we have been individualized. And so it is now retracting those mindsets and then coming up with a collective consciousness that begins to get us to work on ourselves. And now the A, it's personal. Say me, yeah, you. It's time for you to take your health very seriously. We face a number of health disparities. How are we going to change that? So you have to look at your mental health, physical health, emotional health, right? The things that you're doing, do you have a diet and exercise routine that really takes care of your health? Are you getting your numbers right, right? Are you getting out walking? What are you doing to make sure that you're taking care of your health? Because remember, your health is your wealth. And now to see relevant cultural programs like this one, many, many more that gets us to really looking at what we can do to work on ourselves every day. That is to be able to get us the confidence that we need, that we can engage in this world as confidently as our ancestors did when they once walked the planet, those ones who built the pyramids, for example, being confident in who we are, the mathematicians that created algebra, geometry, calculus, that's in you. It's in your DNA. But much, much more than that, it's for our children, right, to be confident in who they are. Chin up and chest out, being the best that we can be today and every day. And lastly, it's a comprehensive education that really looks at examining ourselves and how we can change and how we can get better one day at a time. Join us at www.naaea.info.com. Become a member. Get out there. Look at our website. Become a member and see how you can help us continue the movement of empowerment for African Americans. And now, Stan Macklin moment. We'll be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
we
got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. And let's not sabotage ourselves.
That's
we
so
should
true.
Not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
You know, Brother Stan is right. He's so, so right. We're going to have to get to a place where we begin to work on that change, right? And that change begins with us and the things that we do. We got to start trying to get in and fit in and know who we are. We have to teach who we are. We have to develop who we are. We have to love who we are. So it's a process of doing that one day at a time, and we can do that if we continue to do the work of working on ourselves. And now it's time for the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my Big Brother George. Big Brother George, come on through. How are you? Here we go. Bring him in right. All right, Brother George, you won't let me bring you in right, so I'm just go ahead and call you up. We'll see if we can get it in that way. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. Your theme music won't come through today, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to keep it moving. Oh,
the deck is
that ain't it.
Today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I
we got the deck.
I just love
it. How about that? All right, Brother George,
that's
go
cool.
ahead. Oh. There we go. Technology. All right. How about that? Bring it, Brother George.
Bring it. What?
Oh, my goodness. We right here. We ain't going nowhere. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, brother. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing well. Having some technology
That's
glitches,
good.
But we work through our situations. How about you? What you got for us today?
Yeah, I'm doing good, brother. What I have today is Ujamaa. UJAMA, Cooperative Economics. Well, let me get it right. From the Nguzo Saba, the Kwanzaa principle of today is UJAMAA, Cooperative Economics. To build and manage our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. Ujamaa, which means sharing. What goes around comes around. This expression is a common one in the African-American community, but in its most positive sense, it refers directly to the concept of Ujamaa. What we share of our resources, whether time, talent, money, or energy, returns to us as additional resources through which we can creatively improve our situation and progress toward our individual and collective goal. Man, it's beautiful, Brother Marvin. Today, Willie Ness segment, I'm going to be reading from my good brother Noi Muhammad's book again, The Mathematics of the Mind. I think it's a very interesting book, and it makes understanding the function of the mind elementary. He broke it down and made it easy. In the Holy Quran, we read in Surah chapter 11, surely the throne of Allah's power is established on water, that he might manifest the great qualities within you. This does not mean that there is a big gold chair with the Lord sitting on it in the middle of the ocean. What it does mean is that the brain sits or floats on water. If it was God living in the ocean, then he would be out there posted up. He would be posted up out there right now, sitting on a throne and on the water, manifesting the great quality in the Atlantic Ocean. If God intends to manifest the great qualities in you and I, this means God lives in our brain. Does science not refer to the two sides of the human brain as the temples? The temples. The temple is where God lives. The Lord of the Worlds teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, chooses a home that matches the nature of himself. If one is clean, neat, and organized, and we look for a place to live, and someone says, here you go, here's a place to rent, you go do the walkthrough and find the place dirty, disorganized, damaged, what would you say? No, thank you. That's okay. Why? Because we want to live in a home that matches our nature and what we like. This is critical if we know the kingdom of God is within, then what kind of house are we inviting him into? Does it match the nature of what he is? He is honorable. He is honest. He is clean. He is productive. He is powerful, all these things. Well, when he comes to look at us, to examine us, will he have to say, no, thank you, that's okay. Well, I know that everyone doesn't follow the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the teachings of Islam, and so they might not accept, you know, what comes out of the Holy Quran. But I read that really more like food for thought. Like, scientifically, does that make sense? That the brain does actually sit on water. And so if you say, well, God's throne sits on water, and you're teaching human beings, sometimes you can't just go straight to the point. Sometimes you have to gradually feed a child. You can't just give them a steak when they first come out of the womb and say, here's something to eat. You have to give them mother's milk so that they can nourish, and then they eventually can mix in some fruit and mix in some cereal until their digestive system can take that. So the Quran says that God's throne sits on water, and then as you do your scientific research and realize that the brain sits on water and that you do most of your thinking through your brain, then it would conclude that the peace of God that we understand is within us is in there. And so that's food for thought. It's not, you know, like someone say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I mean, you got the perfect right to believe what you choose. But I'm just saying that right there is food for thought in understanding how the mind and the brain function. So, Brother Marvin, if you have a question of the week for me, then I'm ready, brother.
Brother George, thank you. Great job again, as always, getting us to think, and that's the education piece. All right, we're giving it to you each week as we continue to plow into learning and growing and redefining ourselves one day at a time. Here's our empowerment question of the week. It is, how do we get back to collective work and responsibility? How do we get back to it, brother?
Well, I mentioned this to somebody earlier today, that it's a good possibility that the way that we get back to collective anything amongst us is, I don't think it's going to be through religion or politics, because we're so divided in those areas that we're not going to come together based on that. We have to rebuild a new culture in the meantime that can eventually get us to the point where we can come together collectively based on those things, because those are cultural things. But in the meantime, we're gonna have to find something else to rally around, whether it be a cause. You know, and like I said before, you always want to start with the people that's closest to you. The small group grows into a bigger group. And so you have to really structure your small group so that it becomes attractive enough to attract other people until that small group grows into a larger group. But it's all going to take time. So that's my answer, Brother Mark.
Thank you, Brother George. You're exactly right. It's going to take time, right? We have to resurrect ourselves, and we have to re-energize, re-employ, re-institute, and do a whole lot of other revising and revisions to ourselves as we are, the altered selves, to get back to who we are. And it's a process, right? And so we must respect the process of working on ourselves to heal. And that healing process takes place as we continue to dive into who we are, to seek higher power and knowledge, but also to come together collectively to work and support one another. We can do that if we would take each day to look at ourselves, to look at what we're doing right and evaluate that, but also to look at those things that we can change and the adjustments that we can make to ourselves and how we can begin to modify those ways in which we operate so that our communities and our families and our children can get better one day at a time. That work needs to be done, but it starts with you and me. Starts with you and me, and we have to do that one day at a time. 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. 845-277-9250. Slido is in effect today, 1705-703. That's 1705-703 is Slido. And now we got coming to you live is Brother Booker with the Be the One segment, and let's bring him in right. Come on, Brother Booker. Let's see if we can get you in correctly. Come on here. Bring it.
Bring it.
Hey, Mom.
What?
Oh, we had a nice conference. I can't help you. Brother Booker, what you got?
Brother Marvin, how you doing, brother? I'm fine.
Doing well, sir.
Good, good.
Great.
As always, let me say, all the brothers and sisters out there within the sound of my voice, peace be unto you, as always, brother. Brother, we're going to talk about, I'm going to go over those characteristics or qualities of the one again that you and Brother George already been touching on. And, you know, the first one is the one is honest with himself. The second one is the one loves himself. Third, the one loves his people. Fourth, the one believes in himself. Five, the one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. Number six, the one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. Number seven, the one loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Number eight, the one is a great communicator, and he knows how to listen. Number nine, the one is not afraid to die for what is right. And number 10, the one would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell. And Brother Mom, I want to spend a little time today talking about number six. The one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone.
I like that. I like that.
He always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. Now, some may ask, well, what is right? Well, I'm going to piggyback on what Brother George just said about the mind being on water and floating. In other words, your mind is God in you. And what is God? Righteousness, honesty. His nature is that. Okay, he is that. And so we know what's right, what's wrong. And I'll ask the question, how can we be children of God and not be gods ourselves? How can God reproduce himself and not reproduce himself, not reproduce what he is, and put that same greatness that's in him in us? It's like when we have children, we're reproducing ourselves. In fact, we say that we want our children to be greater than us. God said the same thing. So the one always stands for what he knows is right, because he knows it, even if he has to stand alone. Now, in the past, we may justify the wrong we do. We know it's wrong, but we try to justify it and make up excuses for doing it. But we know inside in our minds that it's wrong. So the one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. Now, brother, we've been made to, by being in the Democratic Party now, we've become so much Democrats, and I'm not advocating for one or the other here. I'm just saying because we are now Democrats, we advocate for what the Democrats advocate for. We now advocate for the killing of children in the womb. It's called abortion, but we tie it to a woman's right to choose. That's the Democratic thing. Now, we're giving the women right to choose to kill a child in the womb. Now, we should know, standing for what is right, the only time you should do that, if it's right, is when the woman's life is in jeopardy from the birth. Then, okay, you may have to kill the child in the womb during that time. But my mother at that point would even say, then let me die and bring my child into the world. I know that would have been the position of my mother, because she did it with me at 16 years old. She could have easily aborted because my daddy wasn't there. My mom and my whole family could have said, kill that thing and don't bring it into existence. So I know my mother would have said, let me die to give life to my child. But because we call ourselves liberals now, and I'm not denying a woman's right to choose. Of course she has a right to choose. She always has a right to choose. I just disagree with her on when she makes that choice, okay? You don't make that choice when you find out you are pregnant. You make that choice when you're getting ready to commit the act that will get you pregnant. See what I'm saying? The one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. And we know what's right, brother. We may try to act like we don't, but we do. Brother Marvin, thank you for the opportunity, as always, to talk about the one. Be that one.
Thank you very much, Brother Booker. We appreciate you. Let's continue to work at being the one, starting first with being honest with ourselves about who we are and what we're doing,
brother,
in our own lives. If I can't make nobody do nothing that they ain't ready to do in their own minds and hearts.
That's right.
Focus on being the one, but also
be that one.
That's right. Thank you, brother. We appreciate
you. Thank you, brother.
And now,
thank you. Peace.
845-277. Peace, brother. 9250 is the call-in line today. We got Dr. Danny in the house, right? And Dr. Danny is a powerhouse around these ways. And, again, let me give you Slido once again because I need y'all to come on and join me on Slido. The number is at slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com, slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com. The number is 1705703. That's 1705703. And help us out with that. Get your comments in, or you can call into the live call-in line, 845-277-9250. Now, our featured speaker of the week in our online classroom is Dr. Danny. Come on through, sister. And it's for the sisters today. How about that? Y'all thought we had left y'all behind, but nope. We still bringing it. Here we go. Dr. Danny. Show my sister.
Hello, hello, hello. Glad to join the intellectual capital on the airways today.
Good. That's good news. So I want you to introduce yourself a little bit and give just a little bit brief background, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts of our conversation today.
Well, let me just start by saying this. I'm trying to be the one. How about that? I'm embracing this idea that we need to have a revived movement for unity in our community. And one of the ways that I engage in my community is through meeting the needs of the young people that I come in contact with. I am a mother of four. I care about my children, but I fundamentally believe that all of the children that I come in contact with are a part of me, because I recognize that we all came from the same source. And so that's kind of a little bit about me. Of course, there's a lot of resume type information I could run, but the relevant thing is that I'm a blood-bought believer of Jesus Christ, and I believe in the ministry of advancing it, where we care for others because we love God and we love God's people. Can I cut it right there? Hello? Hello?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm having a little technical difficulties over this way, but we're going to keep on pushing and keep on moving it forward. So let's talk about the kids first, or the children. You talked about unity, right? Where, in your opinion, with the conditions that we're in right now, you know, we've been having a rash of violence with our youth, where does unity start in your mind?
You know, and I'll be honest with you, I would love for Brother Booker to be in this conversation, because I have listened over and over with the characteristics of the youth, right, or characteristics of being the one. And I think that the part that we begin it is that we've got to get back into our right mind. We have to know who we are by first knowing whose we are. And I spoke with my youngest son this week, and I asked him specifically, I said, what is the challenge? What is the issue with our young people who seem to not value life, who seem to feel entitled that what they want they should have, even if it belongs to someone else? And he said, Mom, the blind is leading the blind. And I think that comes from having a mindset that has been left alone. I know when I came up, I was active in a lot of things in the community, in my school, in my church. And it was under the fundamental belief that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So let me just make that plain and make it modern. I believe we have checked out those who care we narrowed the circle of who we care about. Those who know, we share with those we think are worthy. And so, you know, there was a saying that one of my Sunday school teachers would say, if you've got to know to care, care to help, help to learn, learn to save. And so if we have done that, then the issue is not so much as just with our youth. We as the adults, we as the elders, we as those who care and know have got to get our minds right, because our mm-hmm. children are a product of what we do or don't do. So that's the Absolutely. Fundamental place, Marvin, that I think we got to start. We've got to get our minds right.
That's a great point. And I think, of course, sharing is caring. And how do you think, or what do you feel that we can begin to do to get back to caring again, or providing that level of care that we need? Because the wheels are falling off, in my opinion. We want to ask the audience to join in at some point. I'll bring Brother Book in after this question if he's available. But how, again, Sister Dani, do we begin to care for our children in our communities and in our families as well?
Well, you know, what I would proffer as a starting place is that there are people who know and care, but I think we're few and far between on having the courage to stand up. We're waiting for a movement by somebody else. And I think that we have to stop waiting and start organizing. I think we need to get back to where we were some time ago when we were collectively oppressed. We dealt with so much of an issue around prejudice and discrimination, that when we saw our brother across the street who had melanin like we did, we instantly had a connection. Now we're looking for socioeconomic status and things like that to say whether or not we got a connection. But do we have the right academic, pedigree and things like that? But we need to get back of knowing that if we're going to overcome the challenges in our community, we're going to have to see our brother as ourselves. I met a young man this week in one of the caucus groups meetings, and he has an organization called We Are Me. And you know what that speaks to exactly? Again, I know it's not an accident, Brother Marvin, that I'm hearing these things, because it's resonating with my spirit. Be the one. We are me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that mm-hmm. we've got to. And I know the one of the comments that was made before is that politics and spirituality is so divisive that it can't be the source. But I'm sorry, I just tend to believe that there is one God, whether you want to call him Allah and I call him Jehovah, I'm good with that. But my point is that it is bigger than mm-hmm. us. And when we get our children to recognize that they are a created entity and indwells them is spirit and power and the ability to accomplish much, as long as we see ourselves as me, we are me, that's where we start. Spiritual guidance, community engagement and outreach, counseling and support. I mean, we need to be self-sufficient and stop looking mm-hmm. for the people downtown or the people in Washington or the people somewhere else to save us. We have got to save ourselves.
True. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Self-sufficiency is the way, right? And if we, again, learn to work together, right, to resource ourselves and to regain our footing economically, right, and I think that's really it, but also the mental and the mental health piece and the emotional piece, right, and the self-regulation piece is so important. Let me bring Brother Booker in for a minute if he's available. Brother Booker, are you there?
Yes, sir, brother.
Sister Dani has asked for you today, so he's here. Sister Dani, do you have anything you want to ask for Brother Booker?
Well, I mean, yes, thank you for bringing him in, because those tenets that we find that is based on, I would tend to say you are like a pencil or a pen, And God wrote those things in your heart because they resonate with those of us who understand that it's bigger than us. When you think about being the one, I'm curious to know, how do you get it out of the petri dish and get it throughout the community? Because truly, you know, we all need an inoculation. We need a source of it getting inside of us, that it might help us to manifest the unity in the community that is so much needed. What are your thoughts about making it bigger than just us?
Right. Well, Sister Prince, let me say, I agree with everything you said so far today. You've been definitely on point, Sister. And it reminded me of how the system is divides us to, because I've been through it, I've seen it, I've lived it like you have, and I remember as I was so-called climbing the ladder of success in this country and in the U.S. military, that I had a white lieutenant tell me when I was at the Pentagon, came in the restroom behind me to tell me that they knew what I was doing. Up in the military, knew what I was doing back home in Richmond, because at that time my mother was still living in Gilpin Court, and I would come down on the weekends and have cookouts in the community and pass out flyers. I was going to Maggie Walker doing presentations, talking to our young folk about life and being honest with them, and so the Navy knew what I was doing, and he wanted me to know that they knew what I was doing, and that's what he was telling me. We know what you were doing. But he said, but you got to understand something. I said, what's that, Lieutenant? He said, you're not going to bring all them people up here with you. You know, that ain't going to happen. This is for you. You know, and he said, what's going to end up happening? If you keep trying to bring them up here with you, you're going to end up back down there with them. To which I said, well, that's fine with me, because that's where I belong. That's where I'm from. The point is, he was trying to make me to believe that I'm different than the rest of my folk. Like the point you were making earlier, Sister, that socially or economically, I've gotten to a point now, I'm different from them people. And that's what happened to us as a whole, as individuals. We get on certain levels that we start seeing ourselves, that we think we are different than our brothers and sisters that we grew up with, than we were raised with, than our family members. And that's one of the major problems that we have to overcome. And that's why I say the first tenet, as you say, of the being the one is we must be honest with ourselves. We must acknowledge that these things are happening, have happened, and are still happening to us. First and foremost, we have to admit that and be honest with ourselves. And something else you said, the adults, we have to reflect all these things we're talking about. We have to show our youth, not just preach it to them, but show it to them. We can't be telling them one thing and then doing something totally different, because they observe and they see it. They know what we're doing. You know, we've got to reflect all these things. If I'm being the one, be that one. If I believe we are me, show that. And what I'm going to be doing moving forward, and thanks to Brother Marvin and some other brothers who in a way challenged me. Okay, Brother Booker, what are we going to do then? How are we going to do it? Okay, I agree with what you're saying, but how are we going to do it? How make it? And that's where I got to the point, as you say, that God in me identified these things to me. I had to look at myself. I had to say, okay, how do we do it? How can I do it? And the first thing I said was, we've got to be honest with ourselves. I got to be honest with myself. I got to love myself. I got to admit that I don't love myself in my honesty to myself. I have to admit I don't love myself. We as people don't love ourselves. If we did, we wouldn't be doing the things we do to each other.
That's
no
right.
way. If I love my black self, there's no way I'm riding through the projects having drive-by shootings. Or running up behind a brother blowing his brains out for dope or what? I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't disrespect my women. I wouldn't put my hands on my women. If you love yourself, I tell people all the time, and this has nothing to do with racism, but you show me a black man with a white woman, and I show you a black man that doesn't love himself. And I can say that because I've been there. I can say that because I've been there. Okay? If you love yourself as a black man, then your woman has to be black like you. Because our women are being treated the worst around the world as any other woman on the planet. So how in hell am I going to say I love myself as a black man, but I'm be having a white woman? You can't. You can't. We got to be honest with ourselves. I'm going to start promoting what I'm now going to call Be That One. Be That One. That one who loves himself, the one who's honest with himself, the one I'm going to start promoting that on social media. I'm going to get my family to help me. I'm going to try to get all my friends to forward it. We're about ready to bring the shirts in Armstrong High School to the young men and women over there. In fact, I got the principal at Armstrong High School going to pay for the first batch of the shirts that we're bringing in to give to the brothers that we meet with every Monday at Armstrong, what we call Brother Marvin and Brother George and I. We call Tell the Truth Luncheons.
All right.
They've already said they're gonna wear the shirts. So we're gonna start promoting that. I got a brother out that I in a group with, he got a studio. We're gonna be recording video messages that we're gonna put out. So sister, we are gonna be doing it. And something else you said earlier, we got the people that start with the people that are in what I'm trying to say, the similar minds. You know, the people that are on that kind of think alike now. They're kind of seeing it. And then we just got to go the Amway route, if you will. One, get one, get one, get one, get one, get one. And as Brother Marvin said, we build on it. We take it. We got to stay true to who we say we are. That's all. When if you say I'm the one, when the children see you, you are the one. You being that one. You know, and that's what we got to do. And it's going, like you said, it's going to take time, but we ain't got a whole lot of time.
We don't have a whole lot of time, but what we lack in time, we have to make up for in faith and follow through. And so I embrace the philosophy because I know that it is richly been blessed, right? And so when we look back and peel back that onion, it's about moving forward. I remember a civil rights leader. I sat down and had an opportunity to interview a general by the name of Larry Jackson out of Austin, Texas. And he talked to me about when King was coming to Houston, you know, back in the early 60s. And he was talking about, you know, people want to look at Martin Luther King now these days or Malcolm X and think that there was this whole cloud of witnesses with them everywhere they flew. He would say the group sometimes were very small. And then in the cities that he was coming to, there were people saying, wait a minute, he come here, he going to cause problems and he going to leave and now we're going to have to deal with these white folks down here. It was an intense thing where he said, you know, everybody wants to get on the train when the train is already moving. But you really got to stop and pay attention to those who got on the train when it was just a handful. And that's why I'm saying those of us in corporate America, we have a philosophy that says work with the willing. And so I believe that whether it's two or three, you work and you start to move. And if it's blessed, it's going to grow. God promised us prosperity. He promised us protection. And he's given us power. And we need to walk into that.
That's right. I like that. I like it a lot. 845-277-9250. Got Sister Danny live. You're listening to African American Empowerment Saturday. We got Brother Book on the line, Brother George as well. So we're talking about change, right? This is a community conversation. How do we get to change, right? How do we get to, here's my next question, Sister Danny, is how do we get to caring for one another again? Now, we could be the one, and that's the individual process, but the foundation for how we've been divided, right, over all of these years, and we talk about Willie Lynch every week on the show, how do we coalesce? How do we come back together again? What are your suggestions?
Well, you know, it's one of the things that I've recently heard, and it was so enriching because we have come to the point where as a community, we are embracing opportunities to get, mental health and wellness, get access to resources. But the problem is we think it's the other person that needs to get their mind right. They, you know, okay, that's good for those people over there. But I would dare challenge us to think about those of us who might look good on the outside. We dressed up, put together, and all that. We still got trauma and drama that hasn't been addressed. And when we can at least own it, I think, you know, that tenet that says the one is honest with him or herself. That honesty that I need help, that I'm broken in some places. I think that's the first part. Is if you look at even with Narcotics Anonymous or any of those other things, they'll tell you, you know, you've got to first get into a place where you are moving forward with purpose because you want change. And I think that as a community and collectively, we've got to the same way that, you know, the rap community, they repeat a hook 20 times. And you got kids who can't add and subtract or don't know their alphabet, but they can sing those lines because they have become indoctrinated in the rhythm and the beat and the movement, and they're all in it. Well, guess what? We've got to be that. We've got to start saying those things that we want to resonate in the spirit of our children, because that we can't tell them just one time. We got to tell them. Tell them that we told them. Tell them again. Show them. Walk the walk. Talk the talk. But we've got to also make that investment in our other peers. And that comes with just knowing that our condition is man-made. The systems that have been handed to us, to those who think they know better for us, they don't work. They're broken. And we've been trying to perfect a broken system long enough. And so that goes back to, you know, knowing that we've got to save ourselves. We are the help that we need. And there are some institutions. We don't have a lot. We don't have everything that we might think it takes. But what do we have? We do have some institutions. We do have some facilities. We do have other resources. But right now, they're separate. They're in silos. They're disparate. Everybody's looking at somebody else to take the leadership. That's why the one, I don't know where it falls within there, Brother Booker, but the one is not waiting for somebody else. The one steps out there and say, I'm going to take what I have. I'm going to use what I have to do what I can to make a difference in the life of somebody that's coming behind me. So I really do fundamentally believe, Marvin, that it starts with being that drum major. Get the rhythm going. Say some of the same things, but in a different way, and then walk it out. Be present. Be visible. I don't know how many of us are familiar with the 5,000 mentor role model program that they have in Florida by one of the congresspersons that started it, you know, several years ago, over 20 years ago. But I see Be That One as something that could have a nationwide impact the way this 5,000 role models is having, right? They have made some fundamental commitments to our youth through the black man. One of the young ladies in our meeting earlier this week made the comment that we need black men, positive role models, right along us in these streets. We can't keep telling people to come over here where I am. We got to go where they are. And we need our black men to step up. And so there's black men ministries all around. There's black men groups. You guys just mentioned one that you are part of. But we need to stop being siloed and find a way to collaborate. If we can't get it together and find unity as adults who say we care about the same young people that's in these streets dying and someone pulling the trigger, how can we expect them to get to it? Egos need to be checked at the door. No ego, no edging God out. When we try to assert who we are and we want to be patted on the back and get an award and be lauded, that is the destruction for our people. We need to get back to knowing that we are me.
All right. I just got an ouch. Somebody just texted me. Ouch. Be That One. I love it. All right. 845-277-9250. Got Slido in effect today. Go over there, 1705-703. Sister Danny, let's talk about institutions, resources, education, and churches, right? So the institutions that we find ourselves in, whether it's public schools or the school-to-prison pipeline, which leads you to the correctional institutions, right, the resources that we need to prevent that, and then also looking at getting a good quality education for our children who are in these impoverished schools, but also the support that they need from the home. And then how does the church play a pivotal role, whether it's the mosque or temple, in regaining footing in our communities?
Yeah, so that's a sore spot with me because, you know, the black church, or again, like you said, whatever, you know, you worship at, temple, Kingdom Hall, the black church has historically played a pivotal role in addressing social issues, right, including violence,
true,
including, you know, when the homeless and the hungry. But when we start to unpeel that onion, we've got to question whether or not the black church continues to serve as a moral compass. Is it the spiritual guidance? Is it that nobody's listening, or is the message muffled? And so I believe, if I was going to look at this in a positive way, we have these institutions. I'm in what's now called Church Hill. It's not called that because there are no churches on this hill. It's because we have an abundance of churches on this hill. And so we've got to tear down those walls and work collectively. If you look at the real estate, the strongest real estate position that African Americans have in any urban city is probably the churches that we own. And so there is an opportunity for micro schools to educate our youth. Why must we continue to complain about what is being taken out of, I didn't want to use that word, but their schools, what's not in the textbooks? They don't even want to give us enough books for the kids in there. We can use our churches to educate our youth, not too much different than it used to do. And then, we have enough folks that got a couple of 3 degrees or whatever they want to have that can write a curriculum and our textbooks. We've got HBCUs that are surrounded in this country that we can leverage to ensure that our children can learn in an environment where they don't have to worry about the color of their skin or how they wear their hair or whatever. The problem is we have taken something that was meant to be integration because we felt that the resources would be improved. And we done fell off our rocker and started to gone into assimilation. That is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the best institution, not just because there's a spiritual underpinning, but, you know, we've got educational buildings associated with many of our churches. And unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
80 to 85% of the time, the doors at our educational buildings that are on land that we own as a church are locked. Unlock the doors.
That's right.
Unlock the doors.
Unlock the doors and open up those minds. Our children desperately need us. They really do. They need guidance. They need leadership. They need models. They need role models. They need positive adults who are examples in their lives. And those institutions that you're talking about could play a pivotal role in creating change in our communities. What will it take to move the church back into a position of leadership in the community?
Brother Booker, I'm your biggest fan. We need honesty. We need transparency. When you're trying to advance initiatives, projects, and programs in that environment, and I can only speak from the truth that I have experienced, and you have people who question whether we should be doing it at this time, and we're worried about what about the liability. When people read a proposal and they want to scratch out the fact that you want to have a youth library inside the church or a nursery, and they say, I didn't think it was significant, we got some people in places that they are not called to be in. And so truth and transparency are my two T's that's going to help us move in there. And that's not just those institutions that may be flawed or broken. There are some that are doing it. We need to get behind and support the ones who are deciding to make a difference, even if it's just in one child's life. But my contention is what it's going to take for us to really get the magnitude of the impact we could have in this city and make it a model for other cities. We need truth. We need transparency. We need to come out of the shadows. In some instances, we're playing it safe because the people who have our last name or the folks that I grew up with, we all right. But if my brother is broken, then so am I. If my sister is lost and in need, so am I. And so I think we have got to go back to the social justice movement that truly started out of the Black church. We're scared right now to say something because, you know, let me just say this. I hope it don't hurt nobody's feelings, but I'm going to say it. Right here in Richmond, it would appear that the conduit for people getting elected to public office is coming through the Black church. So we stay away from political issues because so many of our pastors and our people in our leadership in our churches are in elected office. And those things, we've got to get away from that. We've got to speak truth. Without truth, you can have no peace. Without peace, you will never get to unity. So we've got to have truth. And then the transparent part is that we really do need to bring people along the way. Time is out for the overseer. We are in an environment that is the birthplace of self-hate. And those remnants of slavery still run through the minds of the people who lace up their shoes and walk out and get in their fine Cadillac and drive to it's no longer the neighborhood church, drive over yonder to the church in the hood. Because the problem is we've gotten to a point where we think we know better. So we don't include people and let them know what's going on. And I think that we need to be more inclusive. Having inclusivity and transparency will help our churches get back to the fundamental tenet. As I sit here in an institution that was built by 23 enslaved Africans who probably never knew that 164 years later, we would still be in this environment. But they believed in something bigger than themselves, and they wanted to leave a legacy that would positively impact the lives of the Black folks who would come behind them. We need to get back to that mindset. And we're only going to do that with truth and transparency.
You know, that's so true. And I think, I'll just say this, King died in 68. And when Dr. King was assassinated, the church went inward and hasn't come out since. And I don't know if the church is afraid. I don't know if the church has bought into the political system or has assimilated itself, right, with its mindset and its ways. But change has to happen. And because the resources are there, the connections are there, and the facilities are there, that would be the most logical route of going. Again, to me, in my opinion, and I hope that you would support that, is our churches aren't strong as they used to be, right? And so what is causing that disconnect in our churches today?
So let me go with the easy answer. The easy answer is that the enemy has seeped in and sometimes people who can't lead or get attention or be important outside of the church run to the church and they get some responsibility and they want to flex. And so that's the trick of the enemy because, see, look at this. I can break the Black family if I break the Black man. I can break the Black church if I could get them to focus on finances and how much money is coming through the door and being popular as opposed to espousing truth. I can make people feel good that you can live any kind of way. You can do anything, and it's all right. I just think that we have opened up to the world, and instead of
helping to liberate our people, we have done more to enslave them because of our own self-interest and our own agendas. I think that's part of what's plaguing our church prosperity ministry, them and us. The division that has come in there has also crept into the leadership in our church. Instead of being servant leaders, we've inverted that, and we want people to put us on a pedestal as opposed to being in position to serve one another. And I think that we're living in a time of open rebuke. I do believe that there's going to be a changing of the guard, and I think there are those of us who are willing to say, I'll lay down in the road over this right here, so that somebody may be able to come behind me and be blessed. I just think that, you know, we've got to speak truth within that environment, because the truth, they say, will make you free. But you got to speak truth. And I think we fell down because we have individuals who don't know what they don't know in positions of leadership, because the ones who do know, they're tired and probably didn't do a good enough job training those who came behind them. So people looked at a position and thought, okay, I can be important. I can make decisions. You know, you can tell things about an institution, whether it's a church or an organization or whatever, based on who got keys. Look at the people who got the keys. Are they holding the door open or are they locking the door up?
Wow. All right, you're listening to African American Empowerment Saturday. Actually, you're listening live. We're telling our stories today, Community Conversations with Dr. Danny, 845-277-9250 is the live-in call number. But also we're in Slido today. It's in effect. Slido number today at slido.com is 1705-703. We got Dr. Danny on the line. Let's go to the lines, and we're going to go to the last four is 7841. 7841, you're live. You have a question or comment for Dr. Dan.
Good morning and peace to everyone. This is Inubia. Good morning, Dr. Danny.
Hello.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm sorry. Wanted to say welcome to the show, and it's so refreshing and so poignant. Your points are so excellent. More than a question, it's a comment. And I wanted to also invite Brother Booker and Brother George to answer in on this as well. Wanted you to speak to the audience about the value, cause, and this is to your question. This is actually to your question, your comment about getting our minds right. And Brother Booker's talk about, and it was about Brother Booker, what Brother Booker mentioned, standing on what's right, and with Brother George mentioning cooperative economics too, because all these things sort of coincided with one another. And it was about, and it was about getting our minds right, and about being purposeful in our intentions. And then to do that, of course, it all rings back to getting our minds right and standing on what's right and everything. But, and then for me, it came down to being able to do that, right? And the one thing that's central to everything that you guys said, it all goes back to the center of what we all are, and that's God, right? And like you said, whether you call the source of all creation, Jehovah, Yahweh, Allah, God, and those pillars that have been taught have all been central. And one of the things that I really wanted you guys all to chime in on for the audience was what fasting does for the mind. I mean, what fasting does for the body first, right? And then what it does for the thoughts. And then ultimately, then what it does for the behaviors. And if there was a possible way, if we thought about, because this is the question that this meeting asks every Saturday and in every conversation, is So how do we start it, right? So what do we do with this information? How do we start it? And, of course, it always comes down to we start, you know, with ourselves. And I think this would be an excellent moment to introduce anybody who hasn't understood or heard the concept of fasting as it comes from both you, Mr. Booker, Brother Booker, and Brother George, to talk about fasting and how it brings in alignment the presence of God, and how it empties out the body and allows the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and Allah to move through us and to be present in our thoughts and get our minds right.
Well, thank you for the comment and the question.
Okay, Dr. Danny, you take that one, and then I'll bring Brother George in and then Brother Booker.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be brief, but I really do believe that you've answered the question, right? So when we fast, when we turn away from something, and for some people, fasting is related to what they ingest in their body, and others is what they ingest through their eyes. So fasting, the whole purpose of it is that we might commune and hear from our Creator. And mm-hmm. so the ability to go through a cleansing process for minimizing and mitigating the distractions to get in tune with who we have been created to be, because we're not flesh and blood having a spiritual experience. We are spirit beings, as Mr. Lawrence said, living a natural experience. And so the mm-hmm. turning away from and turning towards your Creator in an effort to feel that oneness, right? Because God isn't outside of us. God is in us. And we seek to embrace that is to deny that human side of you, whatever those cravings are, whatever those distractions are. When you turn away from that and you seek God in his oneness, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that's what the benefit of fasting is. It's not to lose weight. It's not because it's popular. It's not because we're coming up on the Resurrection Sunday. It is because you want to commune with your Creator, who can pour into you in ways that your physical needs cannot do the same. So I'm going to stop right there and turn it over to those who clearly are probably head and shoulders above anything that I could think about.
All right, Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. I think that the thought of fasting has been pretty clearly defined. What I want to address is what I was speaking on and what I've been speaking on, which is I'm focused on dealing with our young people's ability to find out their intelligence, because our young people have multiple intelligences, and the school system, the educational system, has not focused on that. And what it does is when you don't teach a child properly, then they have a tendency to become discouraged with learning. And once you become discouraged with learning, then you pretty much are probably going to start becoming discouraged with life. And that leaves you open for gang recruitment. Just like Sister Danny said, she asked her son, and her son gave her the answer, the blind leading the blind. Well, that's what happens when our kids, when our young children are blind, and they're getting younger and younger. So that shows how the recruitment works. And so I'm more concerned with dealing with teaching our young people how to properly sing, because that's my lane. My lane is mentoring and teaching. So I'm not trying to get into a lane where I don't belong. I'm not going to tell people I know how to solve people's mental health problems and when someone is in mourning, how to bring them out of it. That's not my lane. There are people who are very well trained in those things. And so when I speak, I try to stay in my lane. And so my view on what the sister's question was as far as the solution to our problem, I'm trying to start with our young people by focusing on teaching them the ability to think and make proper decisions with their lives. And if you make enough good decisions, then you probably will have a prosperous life. So that's my response, Brother Mark.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I think it's very important that we begin to recruit young people in the same way that other organizations do for various reasons. We have to be able to stand in that gap and be able to give them what they need as well. Let's bring Brother Booker in. Thank you, Brother George. Brother Booker, what do you have?
I'll say what Brother George just said. I'm going to echo on to that when he said about the school system. If you're not doing it right, the children are going to turn it off and so forth. The same thing can be said about the church. Not the church. Let me rephrase that. Same thing can be said about religion. Okay? Because think about this. If religion knows God, knows our Creator, knows the truth of God, and teaching that truth of God, the truth of our Creator and the universe and the world as it's supposed to be, then the religions would be packed and leading the world. There wouldn't be no problems in this world in which we live, because the world is full of religions, but yet we go into hell. I'm going back to, we must be honest with ourselves, okay? Now, when I point about fasting, another point about fasting, because the sister answered her own question, as I agree, and Brother George, it has been answered. But I will say something that fasting also does, and at least for me, when I began fasting, it teaches you discipline of your mind. See, to fast, you've got to have control of your mind. You've got to be disciplined. Because when them hungry spurts come, when them cravings come, when your desire for something that you've sworn off of come, that's the mind. And so it teaches you also to be disciplined in what you're doing. And it leads to mind control. It leads to which controls your body, controls you physically. And then the last thing I want to say about the movements in the past, when we talk about Malcolm, when we talk about Dr. King, when we talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when you talk about all the leaders of the past, so-called leaders of the past, even Jesus Christ, okay? Slaves fall in love with the messenger and not the message. Therefore, as our leaders or messengers have been killed over the years, the movement falls because we go in hibernation, because we fell in love with the messenger and not the message. Because if you understand the message from the messenger and you embrace that message and fall in love with the message, then when they kill the messenger, you pick the thing up and the message continues. And also, when they kill the messenger, we make them pay a price for killing our messenger.
Mm.
And the movement continues. It doesn't fizzle. It doesn't die. But we have been falling in love with the messenger and not the message. That's our problem. Okay?
All right.
And then who the first people to teach us religion on the plantation other than our master? house niggas. Excuse me, brother. I apologize for that, mama. But we got to remember that. We got to be honest with ourselves. The first preachers of religion to the slaves other than the master were house niggers. So what was his goal? And I'll leave it at that, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Booker. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Sister Anuba. Now we're going to go over to Slido. Slido's loaded up today. Dr. Dan, are you ready for Slido?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm just going to go down. This first one is for Brother Booker. I like the concept of being the one. We must work to instill these values in our culture. I believe that to be true. What are your thoughts on that, Dr. Danny?
Without a doubt. You know, again, the reason why it resonates so powerfully is because it's from the Almighty. And this idea of unity and through understanding who we are and our responsibility to one another and how it can lift our community out of where we have drifted into. So I definitely believe that we need to evangelize this concept in such a way that our community is revitalized.
All right, be the one. All right, here's the next slide. What do you feel is causing our youth to become so violent toward one another?
I mean, you know, again, like was said before, we got the blind leading the blind. Our youth don't have hopeful aspirations about tomorrow. We are starting a program here called First Be Field, and it involves academic and Black history enrichment on Saturdays with the feeding program, and then on Sunday, it's about spiritual enrichment. And one of the questions the first Sunday that we did it that the young people were dealing with was no worries. And the question was asked of them, what do you worry about? And one little girl said, well, I worry that I'm going to get to school safely and get home from school safely. So you got a child in elementary school and she's worried about safely coming and going to school. That, to me, tells you there's something going on where their hope and things that they shouldn't even be thinking about of what could happen is consuming them in such a way that if you see a child, I mean, I see the post on social media, I made it to 18. I didn't know if I would graduate. I turned 21. Their sense of what life means and looking forward is so challenged as they have seen so many things in their life that has stolen the hope and aspirations. Do our kids dream? Do they imagine? These are some of the things that I've learned, unfortunately, can be luxuries. Our kids are dealing with some heavy things, and their safe place used to be in their minds, and they don't even have a safe place in their minds. And so it's kill or be killed for them. It's take or get took. It's be a victim or be a victimizer. That's what's hurting our children the most. Is what does tomorrow look like? And I can look at what I thought tomorrow was like when I was 5, 10, 15, 20. And if you talk to 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and 15-year-olds, their thoughts about tomorrow are very different than it was for us 40, 50 years ago. So I dare say it's the lack of hope that is causing our kids to act out in ways that is outside of their mind.
Mm, absolutely. All right, let's jump back over to the lines. Let's go to Dr. Lush. Dr. Lush, you're live, you're on. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for Dr. Danny?
Good day, everyone, and it's a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Danny. Dr. Danny?
Yes.
You can hear me?
I can.
Dr. Danny, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Nebuchadnezzar, none of them, okay? I don't believe in any of them at all. You know why? Because I ain't never seen them. I don't know who they are. How could they help me when I don't even know who they are?
Well, see, that's
interesting. I go into character for this reason. I know, and I'm part of that is also true, because I am an atheist, but I can't prove it. Okay?
Okay.
But Dr. Danny, you know, one of the other issues, I think, and Brother Marvin was alluding to it. How do we get back? Well, you know why? How I think we ought to be able to get back, and maybe you can comment on it, is that we have to be able to ask for help. We have to admit to ourselves, I think, that we know we done did wrong. And you know why I say that is because, especially for us as black men, can we ever come to an admission that we know we done did wrong, excuse the vernacular? And so asking for help. I'm sorry. Hello? Yeah. And so in asking for help, maybe we don't even know how to do that, Dr. Danny. We don't know how to ask for help. Everybody said, I could help you. But wouldn't it be nice if someone could come to a realization within themselves that they know that they need help? Thank you so very much for taking my call, as always, and it's a pleasure to be in class.
Well, I appreciate the perspective, whether in character or out of character. Let me just say this. It's not your belief system that matters. It's what do you have faith in? And so the idea around a system, you know, Brother Booker talk about religion. I don't feel anything about religion. I mean, you could take, if we talk about religion, you could throw that out with the bathwater. But I believe in spirituality. I do believe that I am a created being. What does that do for me? It opens me up. It opens my heart up to believe that there is something inherently good about the fact that I was created. I have purpose on my life. Now, for someone who does not have that same belief system, it's okay, but you, if all you are going to believe in is who you are and what you can do, that's going to lead you down a path of emptiness that nothing can fill. And so I fundamentally believe that help is only lasting if it comes from within. I can share a story. I can provide resources. I can encourage you. I can demonstrate. I can lift you up. But the truth of the matter, if I gave you $1 million, if you don't have a concept of what that could mean for you for the rest of your life, it'll go just as fast as you'll be right back and you'll be penniless again. But you take someone who has some concepts built around systems that helps them to operate authentically and effectively. If you take the $1 million from them, they'll go and they'll be able to retrieve that and create another million. So what is it? Our mindset and what we place faith in has a lot to do with our resilience. And that's what's lacking. I talk to people all the time, but I agree with you. To me, an atheist is somebody who doesn't know. I can deal with agnostics because they say, I don't know. But an atheist is someone, you got to believe in something to say that it doesn't exist. And when you look at that in the context of what we need in our community to get well, it does not matter. You do not have to believe as I believe, but you have to have some faith in something. And if your something is only contained within you, then I think that that's a failing proposition. I am not telling you to believe as I believe, but you got to have faith in something. That's my take on it, brother.
Dr. Dan, thank you, brother. Let's go back to the lines. 5416. You're on, you're live. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Dan? 5416. Go on once. All right, let's move down to 0673. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Danny?
Yes, Brother Kevalong. I like the fact that people can come on program and speak their truth and nobody's going to run away. You know what I mean? We got to be open-minded
right.
to people's views and stuff, right? I want to comment, address what Sister Nubia said and the guest response to her question about fasting. Because I'm fasting now away from Zoom conferences. We had a Zoom conference. It was 5 conferences, 7 days in a row. I said, I can't make it. And the sister said, but it's a powerful information. I said, it's no power for me tapping into the source within. There's nothing you can show me for 5 days in a row. I'm not going to be on nobody's boob tube, television, computer, whatever, for 5 days in a row, because I need time to tap into that force within. Some call it God. Some call it Allah. I said the ultimate of all causes because it is the ultimate of all causes. When I come on your program, I have to put stuff away so I can tap into that force. So sometimes we say fast, we think about food. There's a whole lot of things we could be fasting from. So I'm glad she brought it up. I'm fast away from Boob TV right now. And this game I play, I like backgammon. But I got to set it so maybe once a day. Because all these things are addictive. And so we said fast. We got to broaden the concept of fast. And really, so I like when Nubia proposed a question, and I like the guest's response to that question, right? And she broke it down by, you know, different means of fast. We have, we can do a ton of vision. I don't think one way.
Brother, thank you always. We're looking forward to you coming up next month. So thank you for that. And we're going to get close to wrapping up now. Sister Dani, thank you so much for joining us today. Powerful conversation. We got so much more to talk about because we have a lot of ground to cover. Let's get your final closing comments for today.
Well, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I want to thank God for settling my mind around doing this because this is not something I do on a regular. And definitely appreciate all of the support and the questions and comments by others. My eyes just scanned past a book, a title of a book that I want to close with today. And that comment is what I know for sure. Now, of course, I could tell you what I know for sure, but I want to issue a challenge for those who are on this call. When we think about what our communities need, let's get down to and not just focus on what we don't know. Let's not focus on what we think. Let's not focus on this problem or that problem. I want us to make that short list of what we know for sure. And as we make that list, then we need to commit to doing more, asking for more of ourselves to pour into the lives of these people. Because 50 years, 100 years from now, they won't know our name. But if we can do what we need to do now while we are on this side of Jordan, the impact will multiply like seeds in a field, like sand on an ocean, on an ocean bed. I'm just asking us, what do you know for sure? Thank you very much, Marvin.
All right. Thank you, sister. Great job. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. Powerful conversation. You got to have a can-do attitude, brothers and sisters. You got to have a can-do attitude, looking for solutions, right? Looking for solutions to our problems, looking for solutions to our issues, looking for ways in which we can do and not how we can't do. Brother George, do you have final comments?
Well, I mean, I'm just glad to be here. You know, I thought that it was a great show, man, very informative. And hopefully, you know, we came up with some solutions to, you know, a direction that we can go in to solve our problems in the future.
Thank you, brother. The work to us now. We have what we need. Go back and listen to this one again. If you want to step in, step in. There are so many ways in which we can plug in. We don't have to be siloed anymore. We can come together in unity and community, working together for one common cause. If it looks like you, it's okay with you. If it is you, love you. And always remember, all you have to do is start with you. Be the one, as Brother Booker says, and learn to love yourself. And if you can love yourself, then you can learn to love yourself as your neighbor and your brother as yourself as well. So let's continue to do the work of working on ourselves each day, every day, one day at a time. It's African American Empowerment Saturday or Black Empowerment Saturday, whatever you want to call. Come back next week. Tell a friend, we're growing the movement one day at a time. Until next week, peace. As always, oh yeah, oh, 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 oh yeah.